What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another exciting episode of
Whatever News!
The only news source that provides anything and everything anime and manga related. And we don't bore you, we get into it. Let's do it! I must go. And quickly before we get started, if you would hit that subscribe button and that bell, I notify you on everything and anything in the world of anime and manga. I'll do you the service if you hit them buttons. Hit them. Okay, people, so first story on the docket of this massive episode of Feneva News. For starters, I wanted to jump into Black Clover. We got a couple of pieces of Black Clover news in particular, starting off with, it seems as though Shonen Jump is trying to be innovative. It seems as though they're looking at certain properties and they're like, yo, dog, let's try something. Because as you know, the space of anime and manga has been building and slowly but surely exploding like it's never been before with popularity, and it seems as though Shonen Jump was like, I bet we got something for you, we're gonna try this, you ready for it? Because according to this article, it says Black Clover will be holding a special TV anime virtual exhibition on VR chat. The event will be entirely free to attend and will be starting on February 23rd. Now, initially, I was thinking to myself, as a matter of fact, still, I'm thinking to myself, Black Clover VR experience? Like, huh? Like, it's not necessarily a bad thing or whatever, but it felt like Shonen Jump just picked a name out of a hat and was like, yo, dog, we want to expand in the VR market. At the end of the day, at some given point, VR, the fact that they're pushing millions and millions and millions of dollars into this whole thing, you know, the metaverse and all of that stuff, VR, they're probably looking at it as whenever it does become a staple, it's going to be completely humongous, so much so that they're like, well, we're going to start, you know, marking our territory, so to speak, and little by little getting people involved. And they decided to start off with Black Clover. Like, maybe some other series that they just really haven't publicized have been doing things like this, and if so, hats off to them for being innovative in general with their manga and anime and trying new ways to get people aboard. But I'm still like, why Black Clover? And I mean, at the end of the day, it's not like we're going to probably have access to that, it'll probably be like region locked to Japan. But again, things like this is the little bit of the smoke before the fire comes when it comes to where they're going with things next. If they're trying little things like this out now, we could very well be looking at Shonen Jump, you know, Jump Force 2, the VR experience or something crazy like that. Or they could, I don't know, have some VR exclusive anime episodes. The only way to watch these things is on VR, and they're super encrypted, so it's difficult to, you know, rip it out of there or something like that, which pirates will find a way. But yeah, this is just like super bizarre for Black Clover, especially considering it's like entering its grand finale, you know, it's on the final arc and stuff like that. If anything, I would have expected them to be like, yo, we're gonna try starting some VR stuff with One Piece, because One Piece, you're guaranteed that there's already gonna be some people that have VR. It's so big, so many people are into it, so many multi-generational, you know what I'm saying, fan bases. Like, yeah, One Piece probably would have been the move, but I don't know, maybe their analytics is telling them that Black Clover fans are super susceptible to jumping on VR chat. Wild stuff. But yeah, then we got a little bit more Black Clover related news, because while Jump is doing all of that, we gotta look at the updated sales chart for Black Clover's manga, the success, the declines, all of the above. Let's take a look. Because as you can see with Black Clover, of course, like any other manga, it started off, you know, humble beginnings, doing about like probably 75,000 copies with volume 1, and little by little, it is interesting to note that it seems as though volume 15 was the peak of Black Clover. So let me do a jump cut right here so I could check out what volume 15 even was. So it seems as though that was when they were gearing up to create squads and Mario Leona was involved or whatnot. I mean, she's on the cover of it. So the Mario Leona volume was the peak of Black Clover sales, and since then it kind of went downhill. But I also will throw the argument that it wasn't anything in particular to do with that arc. It seems as though from the anime start around volume 13, that's when Black Clover saw little bit of a jump, nothing extravagant, nothing significant, but it went from, well, actually, I take that back. It went from doing about, what is that, 175 to 180 to jumping up to close to 250. It did like maybe 225, 230 or something like that. And yeah, since then it's been downhill, but I would throw the argument that with the last few volumes, it looks like the decline has kind of been not necessarily completely dissolved, but it looks as though like with the manga, it's been slowly going down, but not as rapidly as it was initially, where you've seen like, yo, across two volumes is dropping dramatically. So Black Clover, while it's doing pretty much for the most part par for the course of what a Shonen Jump series does once it's on decline, I will commend the fact that at the very least the last few volumes haven't been the most extreme drop-offs, and even up to the latest volume, the one where we had like that super break in between volumes for Tabata to like, you know, do research for the final arc or whatnot, even with the big break, the latest volume isn't far off from the previous volume, and volume 32 actually had outdid volume 31, so we was actually seeing, whether it be a small or not, but nevertheless a small increase in Black Clover, and we've seen that, like, look at volume 27 again, like it kind of went up. So Black Clover is like, the fan base is so hardcore for it that occasionally they'll drag a few people in so it's not completely shrinking and whatnot, but yeah, Black Clover, it's definitely on the decline, but it looks like it's fighting its heart out to not completely go down to, you know, where the manga began in sales. And yeah, I gotta commend it. This is Black Clover's sales evolution, so to speak. It's doing okay-ish, but you could tell that this is probably also another reason why Black Clover's ending soon, because sales aren't outstanding, and while they're slightly trying to stabilize, it's probably at that point where not only Tabata's ready to go, Jump is probably like, yo, we're gearing up for the next gen, fam. Wrap it up. Your sales aren't the greatest either. Which is wild, but yeah, that's probably a part of the whole situation. Either way, this was Black Clover, baby. Moving forward, I found this story to be very fascinating, because in case you ain't been hearing the murmurings in the anime and manga community, and honestly writers around the world and artists around the world, a lot of people have been very upset about the emergence of AI. It's been quite a bit now since they've started developing and releasing publicly these apps where you could write whatever, you know what I'm saying? You could write Goku flying across the moon and it'll draw it the best way it can. Obviously, they don't have copyright. Ideally, they shouldn't be able to replicate it. But the big problem with AI is the fact that, yo, dog, it is stealing from other art to create that art. It's using like a million pictures in its database and using that as reference to draw and make whatever you want it to make. And a lot of fans and creatives alike are not excited about that. On top of the fact that, yo, dog, this would be replacing our favorite mangaka and you would lose a little bit of that soul and passion when it's just, you know, a heartless bot that is putting it together. So a lot of people are still very much so against AI. However, it seems as though the manga industry is like, yo, fam, we about to get it and we gonna get this AI manga popping, because, yeah, there's an AI manga coming. Because according to this article, it says, an AI-drawn manga is about to make its debut. You might not expect the art world to drum up a lot of drama, but you'd be dead wrong there. With the new year upon us, it seems the budding controversy regarding AI art is only getting bigger. From harsh ethical debates to ownership issues, AI-generated art has prompted all sorts of controversy, and now it seems like a publisher in Japan is sparking more debate with an AI-drawn manga. The update comes from Root Put, as the manga creator is teaming with Shin Chosha to make an AI-drawn manga. According to the publisher, its Bunch Comics imprint will publish the experimental manga on March 9th, and all eyes are on the project to see how it fares. After all, Root Put will be using AI software to make a sci-fi manga from scratch, from editing to assembly. The whole thing will be done using AI, but the story will not be made up. Instead, Root Put's manga will reimagine the old Japanese legend of Momotaro. The manga will begin with an odd couple finding a mysterious boy outside of their strip club in Neo Okoyama. Things get messy when they realize the kid has valuable data at hand, and Momotaro, or Peach John in the manga, will be tasked with protecting the info from foes. As you can see above, the stills from this upcoming manga scream cyberpunk, and it is wild knowing it was done by AI. Well, let's backtrack, hold on, because now they're getting into their opinion, so let me give mine. Because we have a couple of shots of this, again, cyberpunk Peach John. And the art, yeah, as far as like if I didn't know any better, I would be like, wow, yo, somebody put in a lot of time. Like, this will probably take Sui Ishida, I don't even know, at least a few different days and a few different sessions to complete it with all of the strokes and whatnot. But it's like, yo, an AI made it. And again, going to, you know, a couple of the pages is like, yo, dog, it looks good. Even this page right here, I really like this page too. It's like, it looks good, but the fact that it's AI is honestly going to be a difficult thing for me to really wrap my brain around, to be honest with you. And I could definitely tell that with the March 9th release, we're probably going to see a massive battle ensue between creatives. And that, I would say, my best solution to this whole thing is, if you're a creative and you're worried about this manga and you're worried about AI, ignore it. Ignore this whole thing. When March 9th comes and they start drumming up with promo and people are pushing it around, don't reply to it. Don't say nothing to it. Just act like it doesn't exist. Because the more you contribute to it, the faster this AI thing is going to get off the ground and into, you know what I'm saying, the stratosphere, so to speak. I know a lot of people are like, yo, but if we go at it and if we try to boycott, okay, you're going to stop this one now. And then another one's going to come. And another one's going to come. So I would say my best advice is, if you're against the cyberpunk peach thingy-majig, probably just ignore it, because it's gonna, yeah, I mean, AI is coming inevitably. And I'm not even gonna lie, yes, the art, just if I'm being honest, it does look appealing to the eye. However, again, it's like, it's AI, not your eye. And just in general, it's like, wow, you know, they really got some gojones, so to speak, to be even trying to push this, considering the climate right now, especially with artists, creatives alike, are like, yo, dog, no, we don't want that in our community. So it's gonna be fascinating to see what happens with AI moving forward. But as it stands right now, there's a new AI manga coming March 9th. Let's see what happens. Moving forward, in case you don't know, or you somehow been living under a rock for the last few months, we recently seen the passing of the iconic and legendary voice of Batman from Batman the Animated Series and many, many, many different iterations of the character in general, Kevin Conroy. Kevin Conroy passed, and I'm still at this point in shock, like, wow, that's forever gonna be Batman to me. However, we recently got word from Mark Hamill, the voice of the Joker, who has been notorious for, when Kevin Conroy plays Batman, chances are, if Joker's in that movie or that TV show or whatever, you're gonna have Mark Hamill playing Joker, and they've been like a duo. And it seems as though with the passing of Kevin Conroy, Mark Hamill isn't really looking to ever return to the Joker. Let's read. Mark Hamill explains why he will likely never return as the Joker. Mark Hamill revealed the sad reason that he probably won't be playing the Joker in any Batman projects. Empire Magazine caught up with the Star Wars legend to talk about that stint as the Clown Prince of Crime and his career. When the topic shifted to Kevin Conroy's untimely passing, Hamill did not mince words. There is no Batman the Animated Series Joker without the iconic Dark Knight's actor's wonderful tones. In some way, it's fitting. You really can't imagine one side of their banter without the other. Some fans might be sad to hear this news, but it's a fitting testament to the kind of performer that Conroy was and the shadow his absence cast on animated depictions of Batman moving forward. They would call and say, they want you to do the Joker. And my only question was, is Kevin Batman? If they said yes, I would say, I'm in. We were like partners, Hamill explained. We were like Laurel and Hardy. Without Kevin there doesn't seem to be a Batman for me. The entire comics world was shocked when Kevin Conroy passed away. His death was felt by the larger pop culture landscape as well. When DC Comics published a statement in the hours afterward, a lot of people wanted to know what Hamill would say about his longtime friend and collaborator. It's no surprise that he came through with a heartfelt summary of how instrumental he was to making Batman the Animated Series the childhood touchstone it is for so many. Kevin was perfection, Mark Hamill reflected on his cape crusading counterpart. He was one of my favorite people on the planet, and I loved him like a brother. He truly cared for the people around him. His decency shone through everything he did. Every time I saw him or spoke with him, my spirits were elevated. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know how I'm gonna feel about Batman stuff moving forward, in particular when it comes to animated stuff. Like, I always wanted to see if we ever got like a Batman Beyond movie, Kevin play old Bruce Wayne or something like that. Like, I always thought at some point that's gonna happen, and maybe they'll find a way to make Mark Hamill's voice come out of whatever Joker is in there if they do, like, you know, the Joker Returns, like Batman Beyond. So the fact that Kevin Conroy is gone, and the fact that Mark Hamill was like, there's no Batman for the Joker to go to, like, that was Batman. I feel him. I absolutely feel him. And if he never decides to return to playing the Joker again, I completely understand him. I will say that fans would appreciate, because of the fact that we no longer have Kevin, to at least still have Mark Hamill playing the Joker moving forward. But, you know, gotta respect his wishes. If he really doesn't have his heart in it anymore, if Kevin leaving us was something that he just can't bear to keep on doing the role, I understand. Maybe it's time to move things along. But forever, they will be the voices of what I remember from the Batman the Animated Series. Kevin Conroy as Batman, Mark Hamill as Joker. What a legendary duo, dog. And I can't believe it. It's like we legit are witnessing the end of one of the biggest eras in Western cartoon history of Kevin Conroy and Mark Hamill. Rest in peace again to Kevin Conroy and condolences to his family. And sad situation all around, but we gotta respect if Mark Hamill no longer wants to do the Joker, he has his right to. Okay, people, next up, we have a little bit of controversy ensuing in the anime world because it happens every year. And apparently, we're gearing up for the Crunchyroll Awards, and we got the nominations for the categories here. We're going to read them off. And honestly, I really want you to tell me what you think about these nominations for these categories. I have not seen much of it yet, so we'll be witnessing this for the first time together. Unless you already saw it and you just wanted to come in here for Neb's opinion, then hey, you're all. Awesome. So yes, the time has come. Anime Award Voting 2023 is open. And for starters, the nominees for Anime of the Year, the big enchilada off-rip, is Attack on Titan's Final Season Part 2, Cyberpunk Edgerunners, Demon Slayer Kimetsu no Yaiba Entertainment District Arc, Lycoris Recoil, Ranking of Kings Core 2, Spy Family. I'm not even gonna lie, this is super strange. Shouldn't they be already counting like Chainsaw Man and Bleach Thousand Year Blood War, or is this like before they're airing? Although Cyberpunk Edgerunners came out right around or maybe slightly before, that's gonna be super strange. Like, imagine when they do get to Chainsaw Man, it's gonna be like, yo, Chainsaw Man anime of 2023, dog, that happened in 2022. What are they doing with this? Like, unless they just didn't count Chainsaw Man, but it looks like they're stopping at a certain point, and it's like, honestly, I would probably say Chainsaw Man was anime of the year for me. I really would have to think deeply about it, but off rip, it would at the very least be 100% a nomination. So the fact that they're not, I'm guessing there's some sort of closing point, and that's why it's not available and not eligible, but that's very silly because, so you're going to crown Chainsaw Man anime of the year next year, even though it aired in 2022. Then we got Best Original Anime nominees with Birdie Wing, Golf Girl Story, Healer Girl, Lycoris Recoil, The Orbital Children, Vampire in the Garden, Yudei Deko. Okay, I'm not familiar with pretty much none of these. All right, well, they're originals, so maybe something to check out. Then we got Best Character Design, Cyberpunk Edgerunners. That art was pretty dope. Demon Slayer Kimetsu no Yaiba. I might have to go with Demon Slayer. I don't know. JoJo's Bizarre Adventure Stone Ocean. JoJo's always looks fantastic. My Dress Up Darling, Ranking of Kings Core 2, and Spy Family. I'm giving that one to Demon Slayer. That's my vote. And for the previous ones, let's see. The original, I really can't say on that one. And out of that list of Anime of the Year nominees, it's a toss-up between AOT and Demon Slayer. I'll be honest with you. I'd have to, again, think a little more of that. But if I am just going with my gut, it will probably be Attack on Titan. But again, Demon Slayer Season 2 was just, it was great. It was great. It was, I was going to say nasty, but that's not a great compliment. It was fantastic. Then we got for Best Animation, Akebi Sailor Uniform, Attack on Titan Final Season Part 2, Cyberpunk Edgerunners, Demon Slayer Kimetsu no Yaiba, Ranking of Kings Core 2, and Spy Family. What, they're using the same anime, same 5 anime for everything? Like, what? And yeah, that's gonna go to Demon Slayer, Best Animation. No contest there, period. Like, yeah, that's my vote. Best New Series, Call of the Night, Cyberpunk Edgerunners, Lycoris Recoil, My Dress Up Darling, Spy Family, Your Boy Kong Ming. Give it a Spy Family. It's pretty awesome. Or Cyberpunk, I'm not gonna lie. Cyberpunk Edgerunners, from what I saw, was pretty dope. But I'm gonna go with Spy Family. I love the wholesome feel of it. I love seeing, you know, this little story that is honestly getting a lot of waves, and it's kind of dope to see because it's a little bit different. Then we got Best Continuing Series with Attack on Titan Final Season Part 2. Yeah, they just keep picking the same 5 anime over and over. Demon Slayer, Entertainment District, Kaguya-sama, JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, Made in Abyss, One Piece. Okay, I just want to throw in One Piece because they never nominate One Piece for anything in these awards. So I'm going for One Piece. I don't care. I'm doing it, and you can't stop me. Best opening sequence nominees: Chichiki Banban, Queendom, Ya Boy Kong Min, Mixed Nuts, Official Hige Dandism by Spy Family, Naked Hero Vondi, Ranking of Kings Court 2, Rumbling, Rumbling, Part 2 of Attack on Titan Final Season, This Fire, Franz Ferdinand from Cyberpunk Edgerunners, and Zankyo Sanka Aimer from Demon Slayer's Entertainment District arc. I'm going to go for that one with the rumbling, because even when I say it, I start getting excited. Rumbling, rumbling. So we're going to go with the rumbling for that one. Best ending sequence. Okay, I'm not going to read off the entire names again. It's the same five anime that they voted for with everything. Everything is Attack on Titan, Demon Slayer, and a couple other ones. What is this? I'm going to go with, why not, Spy Family. I like the little wholesome ending. Yeah, there we go. Best score. Okay, this is a little bit more interesting, even though it's the same anime again. What? Yo, honestly, I'm going to just say straight up, like, this is lacking heavily. Every category is the same stuff. Like, is this a pay-to-play type of nomination? What is this? And we got Attack on Titan Part 2, Cyberpunk Edgerunners, Demon Slayer, Made in Abyss, Spy Family, Ya Boy Kong Min. For best score, which would be musically... Ooh, it's a toss-up again from the stuff that I've watched anyway. But I did like a lot of the Cyberpunk Edgerunners music that I heard. I'm going to give it a... I haven't given Cyberpunk Edgerunners one yet. And I like the music there, although I don't know how it compares to Attack on Titan Demon Slayer. But for the sake of it, Cyberpunk for that one for me. Best film, Bubble, Dragon Ball Super Hero, Inu O, Jujutsu Kaisen Zero, One Piece Film Red, The Deer King. Okay, I haven't seen The Deer King. I haven't seen Inu O, Bubble, just keeping it a buck. It looked gorgeous, but it put me to sleep. So we're left with DBS, JJK, and One Piece. And JJK Zero, I loved it, but it felt like it was just the starter kit for Shonen. So JJK Zero, I'm not really sure on that one. And between One Piece Film Red and Dragon Ball Super Superhero, I'm gonna leave it up to you. Tell me if either of those would be your pick, which one would it be? Because like, I love them both for different reasons, and I felt like they were great for different reasons. My gut would say to go with One Piece Film Red just because I felt like the message was so strong, but at the same time, the message in Superhero about, you know, wanting to be there for your kids and doing your best and whatnot was strong as well. So for me, that one is tough. I'd say the Dragon Ball or One Piece. Best anime song, Spy Family, Ya Boy Kong Min, Kaguya-sama, One Piece Film Red, off rip. Or, damn, no, I don't know, rumbling. Ah, New Genesis are rumbling, New Genesis are rumbling. Ah! I'll let you decide on that one as well because I love both of them. But I really love All I Ever Wanted to Do Was Do Right Things. Yeah, I like rumbling. Best director, okay. Off rip, again, from the same five anime. You see the list. I'm going with Demon Slayer Kimetsu no Yaiba. The direction of that one takes it to new heights and outdoes its manga counterpart. I'm going to speed things up now because, yeah, I didn't realize we have so much to go. Best main character of this list, I am going to roll with, for the time being, Eren Yeager, because at this point in the story, he was like Malcolm X to me. He was doing something insane, and I loved it. So yeah, I'm gonna go with Eren on that one. Best supporting character, ooh, who we got? Who we got? We got Ai Hayasaka, Kaguya-sama, Anya Forger. She's a support. I thought she was the MC. Okay, I guess Lloyd is the MC. Rebecca from Cyberpunk, Kage from Ranking of Kings, Tengen Uzui, Demon Slayer, Your Forger from Spy Family got two nominations. Yo, this shit feels rigged as hell. I don't care, yo. I'm gonna say it. This is rigged as hell. How many times you gonna put the same five anime and everything? Rigged, rigged, rigged. And don't get me wrong, these are some great titles, but come on, stop. And for this list, I'm going to probably go with Kage from Ranking of Kings. I really appreciated his character. Must protect at all costs character. What is this? Anya, Boji, Kage, Komi, Shoko, Kotaro, or Marin. Okay, it would be from the first three. And protect Anya Forger. She's a little girl. Come on, protect her. Best action, Attack on Titan. Oh my god, Demon Slayer. Screw it, Demon Slayer, best action. That action is peak. Best comedy, yeah, I don't know. Best drama. Okay, we got 86 in there. They're trying to shake it up a little bit, but let's go with Attack on Titan, I guess. I don't know. It's just the same series over and over. Best fantasy, Mushoku Tensei, ranking of Kings over Mushoku Tensei. Best romance. Ooh, okay. For that one, I will go with Kaguya-sama, Love is War. From what I've seen, I did appreciate the romance in it. Best VA performance. Ah! Okay, Jolene Kujo's voice was amazing, so I'm gonna go with Fidel's Eye from JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, Jolene. And best VA performance in English. Ooh, is there any of them that I actually watched and dub here? Let's go with Zeno Robinson for Gamma 2. Shout outs to Zeno Robinson. He deserves that one. Giving it to you, fam. If it's up to me, you won. And yeah, people, those were the Crunchyroll Awards nominees. Let me know what you think. Personally, it feels rigged. That's just my opinion, though. Then next up, just a small update once again to reassure you that Hunt the Hunter is out of Shonen Jump, because yet again, it was reported that Hunt the Hunter is once again not listed as absent in Weekly Shonen Jump's table of contents in issue number 8, 2023. Nothing is yet known regarding the continuation of the series, but yeah, so just once again reaffirming that Hunter x Hunter won't be returning to Shonen Jump. They're not listing it as absent like they always do when it's going on breaks. It's probably going to go to Jump Plus. I'm going to bet Jump Plus. That would be the smartest move. If not, put it in V Jump and put out some sort of Greed Island card game. It looks like Togashi's been wanting to do that for a long time anyway. Think that would be big. But yeah, just wanted to say that for the last time. I don't think I'm going to be giving you guys any more updates until we get something like, hey, Hunter x Hunter is coming back this day to this magazine with this schedule, but for now, don't expect it in Shonen Jump. Then we got a couple of pieces of news for Undead Unluck and Marshall. Undead Unluck will be holding its third character popularity poll online to commemorate the third anniversary of the series. A total of 100 chapters will also be free to read, and the series will be releasing its latest volume 15 and a novel in February 3rd, 2023. So, a lot of things to expect for Undead Unluck, and especially considering murmurings and rumors were circulating last year that it was ending, and I think it's on its final arc as well, right? Like, yo, everything's ending. But yeah, Undead Unluck will be holding its third character popularity poll. And yeah, go vote if you want. And another piece of news for one of the Shonen Jump quote-unquote newbies, even though it's been there for years now. Marshall is teasing special projects to be revealed next week in Weekly Shonen Jump issue number 9 to commemorate the third anniversary of the series. Because Marshall and Undead Unluck came out, like, I want to say a few months apart. They're like from the same era. I'm interested to see when both of them get their anime, what that era of Jump looks like, because right now we're in the demon dark era with Jujutsu Kaisen, Demon Slayer, Chainsaw Man, all of that stuff. When we get to that era, it's gonna be interesting to see, and it feels like they're trying to hold off as much as they can, like, yo, we doing other stuff, but yo, that's gonna come, don't worry. And if you're interested, the results of Jump 16th Golden Future Cup will be revealed in Weekly Shonen Jump issue number 9. Usually that's where authors will get either one shots or serialized in Jump, depending on who wins. So if you're looking into that, there you go. Next up, I got some big news for JoJo's Bizarre Adventure fans, in particular regarding Part 9. We got more insight on it, all of the above. Let's check it out. JoJo's Bizarre Adventure manga Part 9, The JoJo Lands, teases a picture and its story. This year's February issue of Shueisha's Ultra Jump magazine revealed on Thursday a picture and story tease for Hirohiko Araki's The JoJo Lands, the upcoming 9th part of his JoJo's Bizarre Adventure manga series. The magazine teases that the story is about a boy who becomes very rich in the subtropical islands. The manga will launch in the magazine March 2023 issue on February 17th. Araki's JoJolian, of course, ended, which was the 8th part of JoJo's, back in August 2021, and it debuted in Ultra Jump in May 2011. And the art that we got, because they gave us a little preview of, okay, what the next JoJo's is gonna look like. I'm not gonna lie, the art itself, it looks aye. I guess I'm waiting to see more of, like, when we get it in color to see what the, you know, color design is gonna be like or whatnot. But yeah, I'm not really sure what to expect because I'm an anime only when it comes to JoJo's. I'm waiting until whenever Part 7 comes out. But yeah, the new JoJo lands, and that's the main character. All right, it's a dope drawing, but again, I want to know more about what this JoJo's is all about. And either way, this is the first look at JoJo's Bizarre Adventure Part 9's MC. This is the new JoJo's, the one that's taking over after Part 8's. Was it Joseph Fumi? I think that was his name. Might be totally off on that. Okay, next up, I wanted to put this out. It is a call to action, so to speak, for all creators alike in the anime manga world, or in general, maybe you like anime and manga, but you do something else and you want to come over here to Feneva News and talk about it. I'm looking for you out there, whoever you may be. You could be a cosplayer. You could be with your original stories. Maybe you got something going of like an original comic that you want to be put out there, or you want to come over here, come up for an interview or whatnot, if you want to be featured in Forever News and potentially have even an interview up here, then please go on Twitter, put hashtag Forever News, and show me what you got. Whatever it may be, again, if you're working on an original manga, you're doing your own pieces of animation, you're a cosplayer, you're a content creator on YouTube, whatever it is, I'm going to be looking at who sends what, and I'm going to be picking some people to be featured in Forever News for some interviews, some coverage, and just in general, I want to see some creatives up here. I want to see some dope stuff. And just to kick things off in this call to action, a creator that I wanted to spotlight today is Siobhan White, the creator of Max Powers. If you haven't heard about Max Powers, it is a comic currently going on over on Webtoons. It is about a superhero, really dope stuff, a whole bunch of black characters, a whole bunch of great storytelling, very much so some of the best Webtoons I have witnessed so far, and I think you would really appreciate what he's been working on. I believe he's going into his third volume now with the climax of one of the biggest battles, so yeah, highly recommend, go to Webtoons, Max Powers comic, check it out, and yeah, let me know what you think. And once again, call to action, if you want to come up here for an interview, you want to talk about whatever you got going on in the anime and manga world, maybe you make merch, maybe you're doing something unique, hashtag Forever News on Twitter, show me what you got, and maybe you can make it up here. And just in general, let's have some fun. Okay, next up, small story, but nevertheless, I did want to cover it regarding Nightwing's latest comic. You're probably like, yo, Feneb, what? Why are you bringing this up? Well, I thought it was very significant, to say the least, because apparently in the latest Nightwing comic, after several years, and there might have been other comics that did this, but the Teen Titans have finally become a part of the Justice League, and I thought that was pretty significant. It says, the Titans now becoming the new Justice League and Guardians of the World is exactly what this person wanted for years to happen, and apparently in Nightwing 100, one of the latest comics, the Teen Titans have become the new Justice League. That's very interesting and very dope, because I was back in the days a big fan of Teen Titans, Justice League Unlimited. I've read some of the comics. I loved the Judas Contract story that they did. Like, I believe it was a direct video or whatnot, although it was probably better done in the actual animated series with the Terra arc. But nevertheless, yeah, Teen Titans have officially become the Justice League in the new Nightwing comic. I would love to read some of that Nightwing comic. I need to look into that. But yeah, I thought it would be interesting for you to know. Attack on Titans final season part 3. Now, a lot of us have been waiting for Attack on Titan to come to its close, right? It honestly feels to a certain degree like it ended a million years ago and somehow it's still going, because the manga wrapped up a couple of years ago now, I want to say. Like, it's been quite a bit since the original story has ended, and the anime has been taking its sweet time to end it. So much so that it's like, wait a minute, so it was already a couple of years ago that you announced Attack on Titan, the final season, and instead of it actually being the final season, where three parts deep and they're breaking it down, and it's just been absolute chaos. And to a certain degree, it feels as though 100% I can say now that they're stretching and milking the release of this Attack on Titan season. Don't get me wrong, it is 100% beneficial to, you know, put as much time as possible to make sure that the product is polished and all of that stuff, but that whole, hey, this is the final thing, is what makes you look at it like, yo, what are you doing? Like, you could throw the argument maybe and compare it to a certain degree of like, yo, dog, we had Naruto the last, and then after that we had the Boruto movie, and then after that we had Boruto Naruto Next Generations anime, but a little bit different because those are different IPs. This has been saying the final season of Attack on Titan for how freaking long now, and we're still, you know what I'm saying, checking the imaginary watch, I don't got my watch on, but we're still waiting. But I bring forth to you guys the details because we got a trailer alongside some insight into the finale of Attack on Titan, as well as Studio MAPPA addressing something big that fans may be speculating about the release. Let's read. Attack on Titan Final Season Part 3 anime set to premiere on March 4th and will be split into two halves. And before we continue any further, that is nuts. My birthday is March 2nd. March 3rd, we have that theatrical release of Demon Slayer with the final two episodes of Season 2 and the premiere of the Swordsmith Village arc. And then the day after that, we got Attack on Titan. My presents for my birthday are coming a little bit late, but we're getting them. The time has come for the final arc, of the Attack on Titan anime franchise, with the official Twitter account account for the series, revealing that Attack on Titan Final Season Part 3 will begin its Titanic Japanese broadcast in March. This part will be split into two halves, with the first to start on March 4th and the second half to air within 2023. To get fans hype, a new trailer was released featuring scenes from the upcoming part. And before we jump into the trailer, let's re-examine this for a second. So we're probably going to get, what, 12 and then 12 if they're going to do a 24? Or are they going to just put like 6 and 6? How is this going to go? It seems as though, because there's still quite a bit of story left to be told, but I don't know if there's like 24 episodes worth of material. I'm imagining that Attack on Titan's final season, final parts, part 3, that's going to be divided into two, which again, they're 100% milking this. And the crazy part about it is that, similar to the Boruto situation, I can almost bet everything in the house that Attack on Titan is going to continue on with some sort of spin-off sequel down the road. If they are holding so tightly to Attack on Titan to the point that we are in 2023 and we're going into the final season, part 3, that is going to be broken down into two halves, they don't want to let this go, because it is factual that Attack on Titan might be Kodansha's biggest franchise of all time, their biggest series, their biggest property. So they're not going to let it go away. And this is another clear indication that, dog, they stretching it. Again, it'll benefit us down the road in terms of the quality of the episodes and all of the time that they could put into, you know, because they do use CG for the Titans. We could get a good product with this extra time. But fam, it feels like Attack on Titan, it's been over for a while now. Why are we on the final season part 3? I think, honestly, just if they never would have went with this final season debacle, I probably wouldn't feel anyway. I would have been like, okay, that was season 5 and season 6, you know, so on and so forth. But they were like, nah, dog, it's the final and it's gonna take years to get through. Let's check out this trailer, though. Let's go. We're seeing a wall. We're seeing young Eren crying. Oh gosh, and now we're seeing a massacre. What the heck? The rumbling. We're seeing the mobile rumbling. And this is all a boy's dream, dog. A boy has the right to dream, even if it means the total annihilation of everything in the world to save his own people. That was something else, to say the least. I gotta lie, that was a nice little trailer, little teaser to get people going. And considering we're only, what, about a month and a half away from its premiere, definitely some hype stuff. The first half of Attack on Titan Final Season Part 3's final arc, again, is scheduled to air on NHK General on March 4th at 12:25 a.m. Japan time. So that'll probably be like, what, 10:30-ish in the a.m. for us. So that'll probably be around the morning-ish to maybe noon on Saturdays. So looking at my calendar, it seems as though Attack on Titan, opposed to it being on Sundays, if it's coming out March 4th at 12:25 a.m., we might be looking at Friday noon for Attack on Titan coming out, opposed to we've been having those Sunday releases, now that I'm looking at it. Very interesting. And it says Yuichiro Hayashi will be returning to direct the next part at Studio MAPPA. And again, the second part is scheduled for sometime in 2023. I'm gonna guess, okay, if we're getting this in March, probably the next part will roll around in fallish. So maybe Attack on Titan will end at the very end of 2023. But yeah, I'm not gonna lie, I'm not a fan of this at all. It feels like they've been dragging their feet on getting this thing out. And don't get me wrong, it's really dope that they're having this extra time for production time, but geez louise, it feels like this final part is never ending. And the trailer looks dope. I'm excited. Really cool late birthday present to myself. But Attack on Titan, come on, final season, let's be final with it. And following that announcement about Attack on Titan Final Season Part 3 being split up into two halves, a lot of fans took to the internet very upset, like, yo dog, we're dragging it. And Studio MAPPA addressed it. Let's read what they had to say. To all those who are looking forward to the TV anime Attack on Titan the Final Season conclusion arc, we're pleased to announce the release date of Attack on Titan the Final Season. Our initial goal was to broadcast the entire final season on March 3rd, 2023. However, in the process of production, the amount of work became much larger than expected, and after consulting with the committee members, we've decided to release the series in two cores, the first core and second core. We deeply apologize to those who have been looking forward to the completion of the anime in the conclusion arc. All of our employees and staff promised to devote our energies to the production of Attack on Titan until the very end, so we hope you will give us a little more time. We appreciate your continued support, MAPPA. And again, I don't want to be completely like, yo, I just want it now, because if they're going to put their best foot forward and give us the top tier quality in terms of this adaptation, then also it is a good thing that we're giving them the time. But I mean, I'm just saying, though, like, final season should have been finalized a long time ago. But dope for MAPPA also addressing that as well, because a lot of people are like, yo, I want to finish this bad boy. Next up, another massive story that has me a little bit shell-shocked right now, to be honest with you, because if you follow Forever News, we recently reported that Jujutsu Kaisen's Gege Akutami had kind of made a little bit of a remark. I want to say it was either at Jump Festa or in one of the author comments where they basically said they're trying to end it within about a year or so. Well, it seems as though in another author comment as recent as the next issue of Weekly Shonen Jump, once again, Gege Akutami, the author of Jujutsu Kaisen, doubled down. They were like, nah fam, you ain't believe what I was saying. We ain't pulling a Horikoshi, you know what I'm saying? There ain't gonna be no extensions here, lad. Yeah, it seems as though they're trying to end it somewhat ASAP. Let's read this one. Gege Akutami, the mangaka of Jujutsu Kaisen, commented in the latest Weekly Shonen Jump issue number 8 that he hopes to quote-unquote finish the story within this year. So once again, Gege Akutami is doubling down that they're trying to end Jujutsu Kaisen way sooner than later, and it's kind of mind-blowing, to be honest with you, because for starters, Jujutsu Kaisen is the number one selling manga year after year for the last 2 years in a row. So already I'm looking at it, well geez, from a financial standpoint, I understand sales have been going down for it with every volume because it peaked shortly before the film came out, Jujutsu Kaisen Zero. But at the same time, I'm thinking to myself, well damn, again, My Hero ending. Black Clover's on its final arc. Jujutsu Kaisen is going to end within 2023. One Piece is on its final arc. Granted, we understand One Piece will probably be on its final arc for many, many of moons to come. But nevertheless, it's like, what is Shonen Jump gonna do? Once those three powerhouses are gone, that's it for the big trio, so to speak, or quadruplets, I guess you would say, adding One Piece. But that's it for that generation of battle series. I mean, there's a lot of other stuff in Jump Plus, of course, and in V Jump, but in terms of Weekly Shonen Jump, their mainstream biggest asset, so to speak, it's gonna be really dry come 2024 if they don't make waves to, you know, kind of rectify and get some new series. Like, I'm expecting, if this is truly the case, if Gege Akutami is not pulling our leg and not gonna pull a Horikoshi at the end of 2023 and say, I tried, my bad guys, we could probably be seeing the finishing of this story within this year, and that's going to be massively a blow to Jump in terms of what's gonna happen. So I'm expecting within 2023, Shonen Jump is going to try and throw out a lot of battle series with potential. It felt like last year, they kind of gave it a couple of shots with Ayashimon and stuff like that. And I believe Red Hood last year, the year before that. But they've tried and they haven't really been very aggressive with getting some of that classic battle Shonen stuff in there. I'm betting now with this announcement, with Togashi being completely removed as well, you know, that whole Hunter x Hunter return will be no more in Weekly Shonen Jump. They are probably going to be scrambling to a certain degree, saying, okay, we're kind of losing everything. How about some new blood? But either way, I'm wondering as well, can everything be resolved within a year with Jujutsu Kaisen? I mean, I guess this culling game saga that we're in right now is going to be the finale, and we're also going to see the inevitable fate of some characters and stuff. Like, wow, dog, Jujutsu Kaisen's ending too. But also on the brighter side of things, because I like to leave you guys with a little bit of positivity, that also is a clear indication that 2023's Jujutsu Kaisen, you can probably expect it is going to be some of the best chapters we've ever had, because now's the time where Gege is going to try and, you know, close off plot threads and finish up character arcs and all sorts of stuff. So I'm expecting nothing but pure, absolute greatness coming into this year for Jujutsu Kaisen, but it's going to be the end. No! I guess comment what you think is going to happen with the ending, and do you think Gege Akutami can get it done within 2023? This is still mind-blowing. What the hell? Okay, this one I found to be very interesting. If you've been following, you know I made a couple of videos already talking about AI is here and it's going to be a massive problem. There's going to be a lot of blowback from this, but it's also going to revolutionize in one form or another the anime and manga and just in general the literature and arts world, because this is a big thing that is slowly but surely being implemented. I know a lot of card games, for example, famous card games, that they use AI generators for the card's art. However, it seems as though for the time being, stuff like this is what's going to slow AI becoming a major thing right down in its tracks. Because one of the problems I feel, rightfully so, artists have with AI is with this new AI situation that basically you could write something and it creates it on the screen, is the fact that it uses tons of different art in its archive. drive to create these things. It's basically using your art in order to create these images. And a lot of people are like, well, we ain't getting paid for that, and that's our stuff. What are you doing? And it seems as though lawsuits are flying at AI already, which again, it's going to slow down its process. Moving forward, let's read this one. Getty Images suing the makers of popular AI art tool for allegedly stealing photos. Getty Images announced a lawsuit against Stability AI, the company behind popular AI art tool Stable Diffusion, alleging the tech company committed copyright infringement. The stock image giant accused Stability AI of copying and processing millions of its images without obtaining the proper licensing, according to a press release issued Tuesday. London-based Stability AI announced it had raised $101 million in funding for open source AI tech in October and released version 2.1 of its Stable Diffusion tool in December. Getty Images believes artificial intelligence has the potential to stimulate creative endeavors. Accordingly, Getty Images provided licenses to leading technology innovators for purposes related to training artificial intelligence systems in a manner that respects personal and intellectual property rights. Wait, so Getty Images was licensing their stuff to other AI? It may not be this one, though. Getty Images wrote in the statement, Stability AI did not seek any such license, from Getty Images, and instead, we believe, chose to ignore viable licensing options and long-standing legal protections in pursuit of their standalone commercial interests. Getty declined to comment further on the suit to CNN, but said it requested a response from the AI firm before taking action. Stability AI did not respond to CNN's request for comment. AI art and traditional media suppliers have struggled to coexist in recent months as computer-generated images now grow more available in advance using human-created images and art as data training. Once only available to a select group of tech insiders, text-to-image AI systems are becoming increasingly popular and powerful. These systems include Stable Diffusion and DALL-E from OpenAI. I don't want to participate at all in the machine that's going to cheapen what I do, Daniel Danger, an illustrator and printmaker who learned the number of his works were used to train Stable Diffusion, told CNN in October. Stability AI founder and CEO Ahmad Mostak told CNN Business in October via email that art is a tiny fraction of the Lion training data behind Stable Diffusion. Art makes up much less than 0.1% of the data set and is only created when deliberately called by the user. Yeah, it sounds like they gotta pay up. It sounds like they're gonna have to pay up. Their one company in particular that already is going to see the ramifications of, you want to use these images, you gotta license them. And I'd imagine the license was probably going to be astronomical, and they were like, yo, we raised, you know, 101 million, fam, we don't want to pay that to the licenses. And no, you gotta pay. And I think that this is going to set a precedence of, well, for starters, AI and tech companies are gonna have to move more smarter, and they're probably going to, and it's probably going to be inevitable, because again, if Getty Images, they're not completely clean hands, so to speak, because they are licensing stuff to be used for AI learning programs and all that stuff. It's just that this one didn't pay for it. So Getty Images, like, okay, I guess, you know, you're in the right to get that, you know, money, so to speak, from them, or have some sort of friction, because hey, they were using your stuff without paying. But at the same time, is like, yeah, it's not like y'all taking a stand against AI images and AI software and stuff like that. It's just y'all want y'all money. So let's not go be like, yeah, Getty, you get them. Like, they're still doing it up in other areas. And last but not least, I wanted to talk about this one, right? Because right now, when it comes to this season of anime, the winter 2023 season, there is a few titles that are massive. And one of them in particular is Vinland Saga Season 2, now done by Studio MAPPA, formerly, of course, of Wit Studio, and yeah, it's popping off. However, the author took to Twitter to address something that apparently they've changed a character and I believe removed some stuff regarding a character, and well, here's his response to it. Makoto Yukimura said, well, for starters, I just found out recently it seems that my English sentences are written like children. Well, I'm actually a human like a child, so it's not a problem. The subject matter must be clear, or maybe I'm too conscious. Thank you everyone for watching Vinland Saga's anime. Einar's behavior in the anime is a little different from the description of the original. As a result of the director Yabuta's consideration of his heart more deeply than mine, he changed a little. I love that kind of change. I'm very happy that people other than me can expand on the world of Vinland Saga. So basically, because if you haven't watched Vinland Saga Season 2, there's a new character that was introduced that from RIP, he is suffering from some of the worst things you could imagine in the world. And it's kind of crazy that apparently in the manga, it was even even much worse than that. And also his behavior, the way his character is written, is slightly different as well. And based on what Yukimura is saying, it seems as though it's that the anime director kind of felt bad and was like, dog, he's going through so much, we gotta make some little changes. Come on, man, we're beating him down every step of the way. So I respect that, with the anime director feeling bad for the character. And Yukimura's like, ah, yes, I did abuse the living fuck out of that dude. Yeah, you could change that, why not? I don't know, Vinland Saga Season 2 so far has been absolutely amazing, and I have no complaints. I have not read the original source material, but I think it's doing just fine. It's great, I'm loving it. Yeah, shout out to Yukimura also being open to, hey, if they play with certain aspects of the series, so long as, you know, I approve of it, I'm fine with it. And it seems as though, yeah, there's a little change in one of the characters, but Vinland Saga is amazing, and Season 2 so far is off to an incredible start. Well, in case you haven't heard murmurings, a lot of massive titles from Kodansha's manga library that have been licensed over here in the West so that you can read them legally with official, really, you know, cleaned up translations and timely manners. When the chapters drop over there in Japan, we usually get it within the same day, within the same time, more or less, and whatnot. Like, that has been a very big deal, that Kodansha's mangas such as Eden Zero, Fairy Tail, think about whatever they have over there, there is a lot of it that has been readily available upon release over there in Japan, over here in the West. However, due to some massive change, pretty much all of that is going to be seemingly going away, and you're no longer going to be able to legally read a lot of massive manga, and a lot of people are very upset by that. And so that you have a little bit more clarification on exactly which titles are going, let me just read you exactly what it says so that we have no miscommunication and we understand exactly what's about to happen. And also keep in mind, again, I'm going to tell you why I feel like this isn't a bad move and things is about to be really good. Kodansha removes 16 manga titles from Crunchyroll on January 31st. Crunchyroll announced on Thursday that it will remove a number of Kodansha USA publishing manga titles from its platform on January 31st. The majority of the titles are also ones that will be affected on the Azuki manga service following a decision from Kodansha. Crunchyroll will remove the following Kodansha titles: A Sign of Affection. Okay, I don't read that one. Cardcaptor Sakura Clear Card. I mean, I haven't watched or read Cardcaptor Sakura in eons, but I'm sure there's some fans that might be disappointed. I'm not too sure about A Sign of Affection. I think that's actually big. I've heard people talk about it. Drifting Dragons, another one I'm unfamiliar with. Eden Zero, right there off rip, and I want to throw the argument that that's probably the biggest title that is about to be affected by it. Eden Zero, the latest manga from the creator of Fairy Tail, Hiro Mashima, is one of the biggest titles that we get simultaneous release over there in Japan and over here in the West with Crunchyroll and whatnot. So the fact that they're going to be removing Eden Zero, that's a very big deal, because even if Eden Zero isn't the biggest seller per se volume wise, it's still one of the most popular and the anime is huge. But Eden Zero is like, wow, that's a very big title. Hiro Mashima is a major player in the manga scene. So off rip, if there's anything that affects me, I'm not per se caught up with Eden Zero, but always having that option of I could read Eden Zero legally, readily available, is a very big bummer. Then going down the road, Fairy Tail, that's more of a reread at this point because Fairy Tail's been over for some time, so I'm not that broken up about it because it's like, it's been over for a bit and it's not like I'm waiting around for any updates on it, although if it was Fairy Tail 100 Years Quest that was affected by it, then I could see that being a problem, and maybe you could throw the argument like as a service, that definitely destroys whatever manga service Crunchyroll was running with. Then they got Farewell, My Dear Kramer, never heard of it. Fire Force, back catalog wise, likewise with Fairy Tail, Fire Force is going to be a big blow because, you know, Fire Force had a massive fan base, and if they got another season of the anime coming at some given point, where are you gonna read Fire Force at? I guess you gotta go buy the volumes. Then we got Inspectra, not familiar with that one. Space Brothers, I've seen some people very upset about Space Brothers leaving the platform. That Time I Got Reincarnated as a Slime, is that a manga adaptation of the anime or vice versa? I know that one's a massive one as well. Ghost in the Shell, The Human Algorithm, I've never even heard of that one, but I'm kind of interested. The World of Summoning, To Your Eternity, oh god, I didn't know that they had that one. That's another very big one, bummer. Topu GP, UQ Holder, that was a big one. I think that was a spinoff of Negima, if I'm not mistaken. And Wave, listen to me. In addition, Kodansha issued a statement to Crunchyroll saying that it is suspending Simuldub updates due to changes in its Simuldub distribution program, and adding that it will have announcements regarding Simulpubs in the coming months. Kodansha will end distribution of Simulpub chapters on Azuki beginning on January 16th. On January 31st, previous Simulpub chapters from Kodansha's titles will be removed on the service. Azuki stated that this is a policy change on Kodansha's end that affects all of the platform platforms they distribute on. Azuki confirmed with Anime News Network that other chapters, including early non-Simulpub chapters of some of the series listed, as well as non-Simulpub series, will remain on the service. Now, I'm going to tell you right here why I think that this isn't necessarily the worst move possible, and that's that more than likely what's happening is Kodansha saw, wait a minute, Shonen Jump has been establishing a foothold in the digital manga arena over there in the West for like, what, 4 years now? Has it been 4 years? Shoot, I think they launched that at the end of 2018. Yeah, like, yo, we going on 5 years that Shonen Jump has been readily available, that people have been paying the $1, $2 a month for the service. They've been slowly but surely building over here while Kodansha, all of their manga have been pretty much stuck on Crunchyroll. And I'll be very honest with you, like, I've never been that gung-ho about going over to the Crunchyroll manga app. Oftentimes it would crash and I'd have to relaunch it and stuff like that. Like, their app wasn't the greatest and the marketing wasn't great around it. Like, just in general, it felt like, despite the fact that all these titles existed on there, it's very few and far between of people that were actually going to read them over there. They're reading those translations but on other services, and most of the time they don't benefit the manga industry of where they're being read at. So Kodansha probably looked at it like, you guys aren't doing nothing with it. We're not building anything. They're probably going to come with a rival to Jump's app over here in the West, probably by the end of this year, I'm imagining. If not next year, for sure, we're going to probably get the big Kodansha manga app. And I don't think that's a bad thing at all. Because again, one, I don't really go on the Crunchyroll app. And if Kodansha really invests to make this app with all the titles, you know, back catalog stuff of things you've always wanted to read, alongside the big updates of Eden Zero, To Your Eternity, back catalogs of Fairy Tail and Fire Force, this could be a very big thing. And it feels like, if anything, Crunchyroll and this Azuki service has kind of maybe been hindering Kodansha's titles from exploding in the digital avenues and stuff like that. You got to think about it. Like, at some given point, as things progress, Jump will be the only one in town. Jump will be the only game in terms of a major digital distribution of manga in the West. And yeah, what's gonna happen with everything else? And I know you're probably thinking, okay, even if they decide to go down the same route as Shonen Jump with creating their own digital platform over here in the West, do they even have the catalog? Do they have the titles that is really going to be able to sell a platform like what Shonen Jump does? Because Jump has One Piece, Bleach, Naruto, you name it, they have some big titles. Well, off the top of my head, here's some titles that is gonna probably make you think, okay, wait a minute, maybe this Kodansha platform ain't such a bad idea after all. Because they have Attack on Titan, Tokyo Revengers, Fire Force, Fairy Tail, Fairy Tail 100 Years Quest, Eden Zero, Brave Master, Hajime no Ippo, To Your Eternity, Seven Deadly Sins, Four Nights of the Apocalypse, Ajin, Alita, Blame, Parasite the Maxim, Vagabond, Kindaichi, Great Teacher Onizuka, Blue Lock, Vinland Saga, Noragami, Witch Hat, Nagatoro, Space Brothers, Flowers of Evil, Orient by the creator of Magi. No, it's not Magi, and Magi's not there, sadly. Shaman King, Inuyashiki Classic, Initial D, Mysterious Girlfriend X, School Rumble. And again, these are just a few off the top of my head alone. Not to mention that they got stuff coming. They got Gachi Akuta rolling. They got Go Go Ranger Reject. They got a lot of different titles that can easily sell and make a platform that'll be very much so viable and palatable. I mean, if they make an Attack on Titan or a Tokyo Revengers spinoff of any sorts already right there, that'll sell it alone. So yeah, they've got the catalog to create a rival to Shonen Jump. Very much so. It's just a matter of utilizing what they got and creating their own in-house infrastructure. Of course, essentially, that would mean that Jump has a monopoly and that stronghold. Kodansha coming in, that would be healthy. Now, again, not to say anything about, like, because Jump's prices have been great and Jump has been giving us, you know, the chapters and all that stuff. So I'm not here to shade what Jump has been doing in the West, because I got to applaud them. I feel like they've made massive strides from the days of us getting the physical magazine and we're like 200 chapters away from the Japanese release. We've gotten and we've come a long way, but yeah, I feel like Kodansha coming in might push them to make moves quicker. Like, for example, it was for the longest time that you couldn't even read Hunter x Hunter, despite, of course, them having all those chapters on the Jump app. It wasn't until Hunter x Hunter returned this time around that they finally put a lot of the back catalog of Hunter x Hunter chapters that you could read. Now, with Kodansha, if they start, you know, making some moves, they get some big titles, you know, when Gachi Akuta starts getting an anime and stuff like that, all of those big titles now can lend itself to allowing to make a big platform that could possibly rival Jump and put push Jump to make other moves. Again, pricing wise, it'll also help to probably keep Jump at bay. If they're over there, like, you know, let's just say they start off at 99 cents. I think the Jump app right now has jumped up to $3, if I'm not mistaken. Now it's $2.99 to keep Jump's price from, you know, just completely going off the chains. And honestly, yeah, it's disappointing right now because as it stands for the foreseeable future, until Kodansha makes their next move, Eden Zero and a lot of other manga that are currently ongoing won't have updates any longer. So definitely, I completely understand the downside in that aspect. But if Kodansha comes out swinging with this big app with all these back catalogs and you could read, you know, all of Tokyo Revengers, all of these manga all in one place for free for a small fee of $1 or $2 a month, I say absolutely I'm here for it. So I'm trying to look at the bright side of things. It might right now seem a little grim that all of these manga are going away. By the end of the year, if not by next year for sure, I am willing to bet Kodansha is about to come and shock everyone and bring the rival to Shonen Jump's app, and I'm here for it. I think healthy competition will breed for a better product and better service on both ends anyway. But I'm extremely curious what you guys think about this whole debacle. How do you feel about basically all of these manga getting taken off the service? Are you disappointed? Are you upset? Again, I feel like for the most part, a lot of people haven't been reading on there anyway to justify it. So Kodansha's probably looking at it as well as like, yo, how is Jump doing all of that with their titles? Meanwhile, we're just on death's door over there on Crunchyroll and their little relic of a freaking section for manga. It's like they've been focusing on anime anyways, and this Azuki service, you probably never even heard it, and if you did, you're one of the very few. It's not really making moves for them, so I understand from a business aspect, and again, I think down the road, this is going to be beneficial for all of us. I'm trying to see the bigger picture, and the bigger picture is we might get a Kodansha app that'll give us a whole other avenue of manga, and maybe even blow some of them up, because now people will have easy access, readily available of all these manga, with a little bit of marketing sprinkled in there, we could have something. And let's jump into the weekly Shonen Magazine. Author comments, none from Weekly Shonen Jump this week. It might have been on break. Let's take a look. We got Yusuke Nomura, author of Blue Lock. I want to go see The Menu. I had plans to, but it's already no longer in theaters. Is that a new movie? I feel like I haven't heard about it at all. Or maybe I have. I don't know. We got Hiro Mashima, author of Eden Zero, Fairy Tail 100 Years Quest. Happy New Year. Hope to have your support this year too. You already know it, big dog. We got you. We holding you down out here in these streets. We got Kei Urana, author of Gachi Akuta. I look forward to choosing a song to pump myself up while working, but as soon as I do, I get deflated and feel empty. Keep going. Keep moving forward. You're good. You got to put that work in. You got this, dog. Then we'll close this one off because it's a very short one with George Morikawa, author of Hajime no Ippo. Flying with a pteranodon during New Year's. No idea what a pteranodon is, but yeah, you go, George Morikawa. Yeah. And let's close this bad boy off with the top 50 best-selling manga of the week, courtesy of Jose_K. And we got places 50 through 41 to start off with. And if I'm not mistaken, minus two volumes, we've got nothing but a Blue Lock hype train that is rushing through like a storm, because aside from places 47 and 48, Blue Lock is tearing it up. Volume 4, 5, 3, 2, 17, 1, 15, 16. Yeah, Blue Lock's anime is clearly making this manga go through the freaking roof with sales, because it's crazy, and all of them did about 22 to 23,000 copies a piece. So yeah, whatever episode recently aired or whatever is going on in the manga, it got people very, very hyped to go and run out and get them. Also, shout outs to Kaguya-sama at 48. With the final volume doing another 22,000, almost 200K before leaving the top 50 for the final volume. Then we got places 40 through 31 with, let's see, more Blue Lock, a whole bunch of Blue Lock. Jeez Louise, aside from Windbreaker at number 40, yet again, Blue Lock, 23,000, 24,000 a piece for volumes 18, 19, 12, 20, 10, 11, 9, 14, 8. Wow, like people really loving them some Blue Lock, huh? Not much to say there. So let's hop on over to places 30 through 21. Blue Lock yet again occupying places 30 through 28. Wow, Blue Lock, clearly it's the new sports series, hands down. Like, there's no debating it anymore. Like, what's gonna replace Haikyuu? What's gonna replace Kuroko? Well, Kuroko been replaced by Haikyuu, but you get the point. Yeah, Blue Lock is here and it is swinging hard body. Then moving forward, we got places 27 and 26 with Chainsaw Man volumes 3 and 4 selling 26,000 a piece with 1.2 mil a piece roughly. At 25, Spy Family's latest volume 10, another 26,000, bringing its total to 1.1 1.5 million sales. Jeez Louise. I mean, yeah, it's been out since October, but that's still massive sales. Then we got a 24 Chainsaw Man again, Volume 2, with 1.335 mil. Gotta have that power up in there, you know what I'm saying? We got Sose no Onmyoji, if I'm not mistaken, isn't that Twin Star Exorcist, with 26,000 in 5 days. Not bad, almost 27. Then we got Chainsaw Man Volume 1 at 22, with another 27,000 this week, bringing it to 1.4 mil. I remember a few months back, it was crazy that it was Chainsaw Man 2 that was the highest seller, but Chainsaw Man 1's volumes, people are running out and grabbing that bad boy because obviously the anime success, and just in general, Chainsaw Man is damn near inescapable on social media. But then we got the top 10 at number 10, the latest volume from The Elusive Samurai, Volume 9, in 5 days, 32.8 K. I believe that's from the same author as Assassination Classroom. And while sales aren't major right now, you know, I guess it's one of those things where we'll see what the anime does. And this one kind of shocked me quite a bit, that Volume 9 of Witch Watch, which must have started right around the time as Elusive Samurai, actually outsold Elusive Samurai with this one with 34.2 K. So they might start putting a little bit more of importance into promoting Witch Watch and making sure that it actually gets to where it's trying to go. At number 7, the First Slam Dunk Resource, 36,000 this week, 302K. Okay, I actually really want to see what the heck is going on with this film that is pushing it. Like, I get it, Slam Dunk, one of the highest selling manga of all time, all of that stuff, but fam, I thought with that movie it was not going to turn out well, and I'm here to admit I was wrong. I was absolutely wrong. Slam Dunk is, yeah, that movie must have did something great for fans, and I'm not that averse to checking it out, because it's clear as day, fans really love it, so there gotta be something special in there, right? Then at number 6, yet again, still in the top 10, and since October 4th, Chainsaw Man Volume 12, 38,000 this week, bringing his total to 760K, my goodness, the fact that it's still in the top 10, astronomical. At number 5, the latest volume from Dandadan, Volume 8, in 5 days, 65.8 K. Dandadan still doing big things, and when that anime comes, it's gonna probably get something close to how Chainsaw Man is right now, because Dandadan is a wild ride, and he also came up under Tatsuki Fujimoto. At number 4, Jujutsu Kaisen's latest volume, 21, with 66k this week, bringing its total to 1.3 mil. Kind of crazy, man. Jujutsu Kaisen ending in 2023. I don't want it to end. Then at number 2, Rurouni Kenshin Hokkaido Arc Volume 8, in 5 days, 95,000 sales. Definitely gearing up for the big anime reboot and all of that stuff. But coming in at number 1 with a very interesting cover, because normally you would expect that, yo, they're gonna really try and push and they're gonna have all of the main mascot, most popular characters as the cover, but Chainsaw Man Volume 13 has a character that is not necessarily a main character per se on the cover, which is kind of interesting. And also, in 5 days, did 284,000 copies already. And it's kind of nuts that the last volume that came out in October hasn't even left the top 10 yet, and we already got another one. Chainsaw Man, it may not be the biggest seller in terms of per volume, because realistically, the highest volume is only at 1.4 million sales, but the fan base is seemingly steadily growing. It's strange because it feels like it's the most biggest thing in the world, but the sales per volume aren't that extravagant yet. I'm guessing with time these things will be at 4 and 5 million. But yeah, Chainsaw Man debuting at number 1. Again, everything with that IP has been nothing but a success, so hats off to Fujimoto and Shueisha for getting it done. But yeah, people, that was the top 50 best-selling manga of the week. Very Blue Locky and Chainsaw Manny. But that's all I have for this one. Thanks for watching. Hope you enjoyed. I'm Fineb World, and as always, people, have an awesome day.
And remember the golden rule!
Anime and manga
for life, man!
Have an awesome day. Peace, and you guys just watched another episode of
Whatever News!
Have an awesome day. Subscribe and hit that bell to get more. Yeah!
I have a dream alone in my room as I sit with the tea. Couldn't possibly think what I often see. And you don't even know how I often blink. Lights be flashing and looking at me. Such an odd, unique, yet I'm so unique. And you're looking at me. If the walls could talk, they would probably read bleak. And I'd probably say, bitch, get the fuck off me.